Christ. 7 years of college down the drain. Might as well join a fucking Peace Corps.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to entertainment industry experts Mark Scherzer and Keith Fenimore. Their new book, Hire Me Hollywood, is packed with anecdotal evidence that anyone can get a job in Tinseltown. Stick around. You could train the next Johnny Depp or cast the next Lassie. I think that's backwards. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience with no recognizable job skills whatsoever in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. If I were you, and you were interested in getting a job in the entertainment industry, I'd listen to today's interview with writers Mark Scherzer and Keith Fenimore. Then I'd order their new book, Hire Me Hollywood, your behind-the-scenes guide to the most exciting and unexpected jobs in show business. Trust me, it's that good. Frankly, even if you don't have stars in your eyes, this book is a great read. It's packed with short question-and-answer interviews with everyone from Regis Philbin's morning show producer, Gelman, to Mike Alexander, the lead animal trainer for Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Read this book and learn what it meant when TV writer Lisa Melamed's Uncle Ira said, "I'm sorry your mother is dead and all, but this corned beef is delicious." Discover why Conan O'Brien told his senior talent producer, Paula Davis, about his assistant, "I've had her do that ever since my cuckoo clock broke." And don't miss character actress Carol Ann Suzy, who plays Howard's unseen mother on The Big Bang Theory. Explain why she doesn't mind skipping hair and makeup preparations to do her part on the show. Howard! Sorry, I just knew I wasn't going to have to do that. Now, did I mention that Scherzer writes and develops TV projects and that Fenimore is a senior producer, writer, and director for Howard Stern? All this and a conversation with Marvel Comics legendary creative man Stan Lee. All right, time to let somebody else do the talking. Excelsior and all that stuff. Mark Scherzer, Keith Fenimore, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And Bob, so far I want to say this is the best interview I've ever done in my entire life.
Thank you. We're out of here. Bye, fellas.
It's a pleasure.
All right, well, my first question is for Keith. This book is in large part about going behind the scenes of the entertainment industry and the business practices. So what's the story about Mark's name coming first on the cover?
Look, we Rochambeau'd for it, and he won.
It was rock, paper, scissors, as I recall.
We drew straws, and then he had the longer straw.
Okay.
Now, he can beat me up.
All right. Now, if we're going to talk about longer straws, we're getting into Howard Stern stuff, and I don't know. Who's got the longest straw on the show, you know?
You went there, Bob, not me.
Yeah. So, I really did enjoy the book. No kidding about that. Now, what inspired it? How did this get started?
I'll take that one. Keith and I were, sitting around one evening, and we were just talking about how we got into the industry and what our paths were. And, we both kind of had the same experience at the beginning in that, when we started out, we were really green, and, we knew we wanted a career in the industry, but we also, weren't exactly sure what we wanted to do at the beginning. And we saw that there was just a whole host of jobs in the industry, and some of them we knew, a lot of them we didn't know what they were about. And so we said, wouldn't it be great if there was a book out there that kind of demystified the industry for people who were looking to get into it, or perhaps people who were looking for a career change, midlife career change. And so that was pretty much it. That was the genesis of the book, and off we went.
And I think, just the fact that it's everyone's path is so unique. I mean, Mark and I are just two people, and we attack the entertainment industry, and we've been successful to a certain degree within the entertainment industry. But, our stories are very different. And we said, well, if our stories are different, then I wonder what other people's stories are. And then we said, well, I wonder what other people's stories that are uber successful, that, what their path was, how they did it. There's the myth or the, I guess, the myth that, you know, you have an uncle in the business and that's the way you kind of get your foot in the door. And, you know, while nepotism happens and it's here and I think it is everywhere, for the most part, you have a lot of super smart, passionate, aggressive, stop at nothing people that are passionate about what they're doing and forge a career for themselves and they earn it, you know. And the people in our book, they definitely are under that model.
Well, that definitely comes across. Everybody in the book has a really good tale to tell about how they got into the industry. Who was the first interview for the book?
It would have been Tremel, David Gianellari, or
the first person for the book actually was Sam Tramiel, who plays Sam Merlot on HBO's True Blood. And you know, he has a really interesting story. You know, this is someone who, you know, when he first started out, had no ambition to be an actor, had no designs on the entertainment industry. In fact, he was a student at Brown University and a semiotics major. And, you know, of course, our first question was, well, what the heck's semiotics? I've never heard of anything like that. You know, he at a certain point got involved in the Brown summer theater program and on a lark. He just kind of went out for one of the plays, got the part, and he was hooked, you know. And from that point on, he you know, just basically made it happen for himself and, you know, is incredibly successful today.
He, as I recall, and I don't have everything memorized in the book, but as I recall, he was up for a very big movie or two early on, up against some really well-known actors. Didn't get the part, but pretty phenomenal, his rise.
Yeah, you know what? Part of the thing that I love about Sam, well, let me back up. Part of the thing that I love about our industry is there are no rules. And if there are quasi-rules, they're breakable. And I am a rule breaker myself. And as I say, as long as you're not going to hurt anybody or it's not illegal, do it. And you have to do that sort of stuff in order to advance, you know. And so to the point of this story where Sam walks into, I believe it was UTA, with flip-flop shorts and his headshot and drops off his headshot with the receptionist. You're not supposed to do that. That's a no-no. They all tell you that. But he did it, and if it wasn't for doing that, he might have not had the career that he has now. What ended up happening was there was an agent that happened to see him, liked his look, grabbed his resume, said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm dropping my headshot off." He goes, let me see it." Called him back in to do a monologue the next day. They liked him. They thought he was talented. And cut to a couple months later, and he's in a room with Al Pacino going for the lead role in Scent of a Woman. And he was up against it. It was between him and Chris O'Donnell. O'Donnell ended up getting it. But, you know, A, because he did that, he was able to get an agent and get signed. B, after he did that, he went and did this audition. He was so remarkable, even as a new actor, that the casting people took notice, that the agency took notice, and they sent him out continuously, and basically that kind of kicked his career. So if he hadn't broken the rule, he would not maybe be where he is today.
You know, I was thinking as you described that, that there are no rules for Hollywood and the entertainment industry. I was thinking about sports and how the path to professional sports is very laid out. You play high school sport. You play college sport. You get drafted in high school or college. You go through the minors or you go through the Canadian leagues. It's very laid out. You can see how to get from point A to point B and become a multimillionaire. Entertainment is very different. I mean, you can go all the way back to the old legends of Schwab's drugstore. And, you know, if you're just sitting, supposedly, you know, we all know it's sort of a blend of truth and fiction. If you were sitting on the right stool and you had the right look, someone from Hollywood would see you and you'd become a movie star. Well, it's not quite like that, but some of these stories are about being in the right place at the right time. Some of them are about having that perfect blend of chutzpah and talent. And sometimes it's just people who were not necessarily in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, and you want me to tell a Steiner story?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you know, I think basically, too, you have to be able to back it up. If you want to use a sports analogy, if you're playing college ball and you don't have what it takes, you're obviously not going to advance, even if you get maybe a break or you have scouts come out and look at you. If you're in Hollywood and you get a part and you're not delivering or you don't have that talent, it's probably going to end pretty quick for you. That's another theme with the people in our book across all disciplines, is they're very smart and they have what it took to back it up. So when the timing connected and there was that spark, it took off for them because they were who they were. They are who they are. But to that point with timing, Mark Steinis went down to the Republican National Convention in New Orleans, and he was working as a reporter in Waterloo, Iowa, in a very small market. And he was down there, and somebody mistook him for Tom Cruise. And they called Entertainment Tonight, and they said, "You have to get out here. Tom Cruise is at the Republican National Convention."
Such a great story in the book.
And so E.T. jumped on it like they do, and they sent the crew down there, and they come to find our friend Mark Steinis, who does look like Cruise. There's an uncanny resemblance there, and they ended up finding out it was Mark Steinis. And saying, you know what, we're here, we have a crew, let's do a story anyway. So they did a story on the lookalike of Tom Cruise. Well, that airs, and the day after that aired, Steinis got 3 job offers.
And eventually wound up on E.T.
And eventually ended up on the floor of E.T., And that's pretty remarkable. And yes, that is timing. Yes, that has a little bit to do with his look, but let's be honest. If he was there and he looked good and he couldn't deliver, he'd still be in Waterloo. No offense, Waterloo.
And look, that's you talk about there's no clear cut path. I think to a certain degree, that's what makes this industry so exciting, is that anything is possible. Sure, you have to work hard at it, you have to have the goods to back it up, but you can get that break writing for TV. You can, like Sam, get that break and boom, your career is off and running as an actor. We always say, we said when we started out that you want to become a doctor, you go to med school. You want to become a lawyer, you go to law school. What's the path for people who want to have a career in the entertainment industry? It's, certainly there are things that you need to do and there are certain touchstones along the way. But it really is what you make of it. And, I think that's to a large extent why, Keith and I got into this. It's an exciting industry. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work, but, the rewards can be great.
And I think, too, to add to that, let's take Mark and I for an example. And I think publishing is an extension, obviously, of the entertainment industry. We were not published authors before this. We did not have contact necessarily in that world. We had not written a book, but we were in this business for, over 15 years each, both of us, and we decided we had a great idea and we were going to try to sell a book and make it happen. And we used our connections, we used our know-how, we used our talents, and we wrote a treatment, we submitted it to publishers, we got picked up, we wrote the book.
Now our assistant will get that.
Sorry, keep
going.
You
want to start again?
No.
We wrote the book and we're published, so it's not like a pat us on the back type of a situation, but it is something to say it's not what we had set out to do. It was an opportunity that we presented for ourselves, not that came to us and fell on our laps. We worked very hard to do it, and it's done. So the possibilities as far as being endless, this is a perfect example of that.
Now, is there any connection between the people that you interviewed? Did one lead to the next, or are they all just completely unrelated?
Yeah, both. It was a bit of a mixed bag. I like to say that we had either we knew the people in the book, or we had one degree of separation from them. And that's sort of a result of having just been in the industry for so long. Just by default, you're just going to know a lot of people if you stay in the industry for a long time and you move around, which typically is what happens in the industry. So we were really fortunate, that most of the people, I would say a good, 90-95% of the people that we approached for the book were happy to sit down and talk with us.
Yeah, I mean, and Bob, let's be honest. I don't have a relationship with Stan Lee. We didn't know him. We cold called him. Mm-hmm. But when you cold call some Hollywood people and say, we'd like to dedicate a chapter in our book that's going to put you on a pedestal and talk about what an unbelievable success you are and put you in a positive light, would you like to talk to us? Most people are going to kind of jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Especially those Hollywood types, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but so we it was from a talent booking standpoint in my career. I don't know, I can't speak for Mark, but the easiest thing I've ever booked in my life, hardly anybody's turned us down.
I can certainly understand the desire to have Stan in the book. I've interviewed him, I've corresponded with him via email a couple of years back on a project, and to have the opportunity to talk to that guy. Who would turn that down? If I was doing a book on horse racing and I had the opportunity to talk to Stan about horse racing, whether he had any relevance or not, I'm going to take that opportunity.
And he has more energy than the three of us put together.
Yeah, it's so amazing.
Yeah.
There were definitely those times when I think when we sat down at his desk across the desk from him, and he was so cordial and energized and knew who we were and what we were doing and was excited about it. I want the reverse shot. I want his POV because I'm sure we were just like, you know, and he started off probably thinking, oh my God, these guys are they gonna muddle through or what? And we got ourselves together and we had just a great. It wasn't all of our talks with these people turned out not being an interview. It turned out being a conversation.
Right.
And Stan was the same way. And I think that's what kind of got such candid interviews for our book, and it's a little bit, I like to think it's a little bit more intimate than probably other things that are out there, if there is anything comparable to this, which maybe there isn't.
I'll tell you my Stan Lee thing. I was interviewing him. It was at the time that he was doing the TV show Who Wants to Be a Superhero, and my daughter, who was then probably about 7 or 8, loved that show, and it had nothing to do with why I was interviewing him, but we were talking, and I just mentioned that she just loved that show, and to her, and she didn't know anything about Stan Lee going into that, she just thought he was just the greatest, funniest, most, you know, erudite guy, and he actually corresponded with her via email after that for a couple of months, and it was just blew her mind. To this day, she tells people, well, I've had email with Stan Lee, you know, I mean, just that kind of guy, I don't know. Great guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely part of his charm and appeal, is that he, you know, he really is, he embraces his fans, and he's, you know, he really is there for them, which, you know, is nice.
And he kind of has that presidential, that Clinton, that Obama, that like just something about him. It's a bigger than life type situation. And no matter if you're a fan of him or not, when you're in his presence, you're kind of starstruck and in awe. He's just a big personality, you know.
Lots of charisma in that guy. Now, who surprised you among the interviews? I interview people for a living. I do it for books. I do it for the show. So I talk to a lot of people, and there are always those ones that you go into and you think, yeah, this is, I'm going to do this, but I'm not really going to enjoy this. It's not going to be fun. And then you come out of it going, oh, my God, I can't wait to tell somebody about this. Who was like that in this book?
Well, I mean, I got to say, first off, we didn't go in. We were able to hand pick and select our 30 people. So there were no kind of eye rolls or situations where we're like, this is going to be getting blood out of the stone. We knew, because these people are so successful, because they're so talented, we knew that every single one of these was going to be amazing. And it was. And that's kind of, you know, that's what the book is all about. So I wouldn't necessarily say, and we knew that they were already successful going in. So it wasn't like we were going to peel a layer of the onion and be like, I can't believe that this happened, you know. So there, maybe for this particular book, there really wasn't that type of a feeling when we were speaking to the people. But
I'll say, just for my part, you know, these are incredibly accomplished people. You know, they've worked on, you know, every film and TV show from 24 Lost to Predator, Alien, Terminator. I mean, just incredible credits, you know, and staying power and success, and you know, this is the cream of the crop. And for me, it was so nice to see how humble they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just were not, they didn't have bloated egos. They didn't have big heads. They were just very humble and very, and it was really just about the work and the passion that they have for it. That really came through. So I wouldn't say I was surprised by it, but I was pleased. I was pleased. You know, it just made the interview that much more enjoyable.
And you know, one thing that I really took away from this, which will add to what Mark just said, and that is, if you're talking to someone that maybe just got their first job and they're new to the business and they're so like fired up and excited and, you know, and just like a kid at Christmas, you wouldn't necessarily expect that from people that maybe have been in it for a long haul, have been through the ringer on things, have had ups and downs. You may feel like they might not have that kind of like fire. But that was kind of an eye-opening thing for me. Because even being in the industry myself, there are days when you're just like, you know, oh, God, you know, wow. Because it's not easy. I mean, it's not an easy industry. And so talking to these people and still feeling the energy and still feeling how unbelievably passionate they were for it and the drive they still had and just basically being that it was just inspirational. So it came across, and I was just hoping that we were going to be able to kind of contain that lightning bolt and be able to somewhat put it on the pages. That was my biggest thing, was like, I want to make sure that we do these people justice, you know? So that was kind of a cool thing for me to learn when I sat across from these 30 people.
The thing that struck me, you mentioned that it was more like conversation than like an interrogation, and that comes across in reading it. I think that's why it was entertaining, even though I'm not pursuing any of those jobs. What I wondered is, and I guess it's because of what I'm doing here, any chance we'll hear those interviews that maybe you'll post them somewhere, or that maybe you'd like to post them on Mr. Media? We could do it here, but I mean, is it possible to actually hear those at some point?
We can talk about licensing fees, Bob. We just got checked with our lawyer, our team of lawyers.
So we
did. I mean, Mark had, we had a flip cam, an HD flip cam, and we did capture some of all of some and parts of others. So that could be coming down the pike, absolutely.
That would be very cool to see. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with entertainment industry experts Mark Scherzer and Keith Fenimore, whose new book is Hire Me Hollywood. And we'll be right back. Hey folks, you can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone's app store. Download it, it's free, takes seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of Mr. Media will be waiting for you in Stitcher's favorites right on your phone. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too, always available to you on demand, no syncing. Some of my favorites include WTF with Mark Maron, Plus One Per Diem with Kevin Smith, and The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. It's all free and all instant to you on Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to win the money. Enter promo code Mr. Media, MR Media, when you register. And thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Guy Kawasaki. You're listening to Mr. Media, you poor slob.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with entertainment industry experts Mark Scherzer and Keith Fenimore, whose new book is Hire Me Hollywood. Mark, I was disappointed that there was not an interview in which you asked Keith how to get on the Howard Stern show, how to get a job with Howard. Talk about low-hanging fruit. Why didn't you go that far?
Keith doesn't throw me anything, you know, no favors, no nothing. You know, I've learned just to not expect anything. So, you know, he's a real tough guy to interview.
And Bob, I got to tell you, until this moment, I hadn't told Mark where I work.
I don't know where he lives. I don't know anything about him, except supposedly he goes by the name Keith Fenimore. That's about it.
All right, fair enough. Well, Keith, tell us, and Mark, I'll have a similar question for you in a moment, but Keith, tell us, how did you get a job with Howard TV and the Howard Stern operation?
Well, I think they just looked at my credits and my history and my experience, and they were so bowed over that they pursued me hot and heavy, and they kept offering the job, and I eventually took it just because I felt bad for them. It was starting to get pathetic.
I don't see that story flying in your book.
Yeah. I think if Howard sees this, I am now fired. So maybe if you need any help, Mr. Media, let me know.
You need a lot of help. Thank you.
My story is that I was in Los Angeles for 15 years, and I was developing and selling television. I was an executive producer and development executive. I've sold shows to A&E and E and VH1 and TV Guide Channel. And I was at Reels Channel before I left L.A. in 2008, which is a movie network, and I helped launch that as an executive producer and development executive. And so I moved to New York unemployed, put my stuff in storage and do what you do in the entertainment industry and roll the dice and take a risk. And you know, one of the places I came across and I wanted to try to penetrate was Howard Stern and Howard TV. I'd been a fan of Howard's for my entire life. And so I was able to get an interview with the executive producer, Doug Goodstein. We hit it off. And what's funny about it is no one ever leaves Howard. So there wasn't a position. But 2 weeks after I met with him, and this is why it's good for anyone out there to just reach out and meet people, because you never know, even on an informational basis, you get in front of people and you meet them, because you never know how things are going to shake out. I met with Doug Goodstein as an informational interview to say I'm in New York and I'm looking for a job. And then 2 weeks later, his production manager went on a vacation. They needed help with a shoot, and he called me. And he brought me in. I did the shoot. And then about a month after that, so now they had their working relationship. They knew how I was good, that they could rely on me. About a month after that, a guy who had been there for 10 years left. And now there was a senior position open, and they wanted to do more original content, and they knew that's what I did. I got the phone call, and I got in. I mean, you know, my boss has been there for 18 years. No one leaves Howard Stern. So it was a little bit of timing, a little bit of luck, and a little bit of aggressiveness on my part to get in front of the right people. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, and this is all we'll talk about the Howard Show, but 12 months ago, nobody knew if there was going to continue to be a Howard Show. Did developing this book as a separate, you know, line of business here, did any of that have to do with thinking ahead to your future?
Well, you know what I can say to that? I am a huge fan. I had a son about a year and a half ago, and it kind of put a different perspective on my life and my career. And I'm very much always been a proponent of not having all your eggs in one basket. So I like to diversify, and you know, and I like to work with smart people. And you know, Mark and I came up with the book. Really didn't have anything to do with the Howard Stern thing or whether I was going to be there or not. It really had to do with the fact that I wanted to go down this route. At the same time, I'm working for Howard full time. At the same time, I'm selling documentaries on the side of the side. I have 4 documentaries airing on the Documentary Channel in September every Sunday. It's a work called the Work Series, and so that's kind of another sidebar for me. And it's all about diversity and trying to get into new spaces and just keep the flow going and meeting new people and casting the widest net possible. And I mean, Mark and I are very driven to continue the series. You know, Hire Me Hollywood is the kickoff, but we plan to do many more, and we plan to do a national tour speaking at colleges and universities. And, you know, this is going to be something that I'm going to do until I'm old and gray.
Well, I'm glad you have that to fall back on, because I think it was a little disingenuous of you to say that you wanted to cast a net as wide as possible and then tell me that you did 4 documentaries and the only place you could think to put them was on the Documentary Channel. I don't think you're thinking very wide there. I mean, documentaries and Documentary Channel. Come on.
Yeah,
think outside the box a little bit.
Right.
You know what? God bless the documentary channel. I gotta say, yeah. I mean, it is in the name, but it's a great place, and it's starting to be a pretty tremendous network. So I'm happy to work with those guys.
Yeah, I knew what the Reels channel was, but I'd never heard of the documentary channel. So you know, you explained what Reels was, and I'm thinking, documentary channel? What the? Well, anyway, Mark, let's turn to Mark.
Yeah.
Mark, you've got 20 years in this business. Tell us a little bit about what you do. I know you work for time in writing comedy and doing that kind of thing. Just explain a little more, because I got to be honest. The explanation on the back of the book here about what you do is very vague. So tell people a little bit about what you actually do and how you do
it. Yeah,
you
know, they didn't give us enough book cover space, actually. You know, right now I'm continuing to develop shows for TV. You know, it's all about, you know, coming up with ideas and going into the networks and pitching and, you know, hopefully getting to second base and, you know, getting another meeting and, you know, with the goal, obviously, of getting something sold to a network. So that's pretty much what I'm doing right now. I also authored which is something that is tied a little bit to the entertainment industry, but it's a little bit of a departure in that I authored and created this wellness program called Iron Will Kids for fourth and fifth graders, which I have a partner in that as well, and we're selling that to schools across the country. It sort of draws on my experience as a writer in kids TV, and you know I created this character-based program that's a lot of fun, and so you know sort of moving along with that as well. You know, you mentioned the comedy. I wrote for a number of years for some Saturday morning TV shows, part of the Peter Engel franchise, the company that gave the world Saved by the Bell and Screech.
Thank you.
I wrote, don't blame me. I wrote for a show called Hang Time and USA High for a while, you know. Did that for a few years. Wrote a spinoff of General Hospital called Port Charles. Wrote for that for a little while. Done you know a number of unscripted shows as well. HGTV, Food Network, TLC. So you know I've just kept myself busy over the years, and you know just this industry is pretty much job to job to job, and you know it's not for somebody who is looking for a steady paycheck necessarily. I mean, you can find jobs in the industry that will offer you that type of security. Let's say, you know, working for a studio or a network, in the publicity department or in the sales and marketing department. But, you know, if you're looking to do something creative, it really is for people who, you know, can go to sleep at night knowing that, you know, that they, the fact that they don't have a steady paycheck isn't keeping them up at night. And so, you know, I've done a lot of stuff over the years, and I continue to you know, I'm continuing along. And as Keith said, you know, our intention is to write more books in the Hire Me series. We have a website, which I would love to plug right now, which is hiremeguys.com. I invite your viewers to go check it out and read more about us and what we do. And they can certainly reach us and contact us through that website. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
And so, what is your advice to somebody who hears about what you do? As it's still a little vague as it sounds, and I understand that from what I do. How would you explain to them to do what you do?
Well, you know what? I'll give advice to somebody who's looking to be a writer, because that really is what I do. And for somebody who's looking to be a writer in the entertainment industry, first of all, you have to learn the craft. You have to learn it and know that the first thing you write, you know, you're going to throw that away. The second thing you write, you're going to throw that away. And you're going to throw away 10, 15, 20 drafts of something before you get to something that you're comfortable enough showing people in the industry. And, you know, pick up any book on screenwriting or TV writing, and, you know, you'll learn that the first thing that you need to do is to write a spec script. And a spec script is a script of an existing show. Let's say, you know, you're a fan of 30 Rock or The Office. You're going to sit down and you're going to write your own episode of 30 Rock or The Office, and you're going to show it to a million people. and range from your brother, your sister, to, you know, hopefully somebody who's in the industry who can give you some really constructive criticism. And you're going to mold that and shape that until it is the best possible script, best possible example of your work. And that will become your calling card. And you're going to show that around in the industry, to people in the industry who are in the position of hiring. You're going to write one or two more because they're going to ask to see, this is great, but what else do you have? And that pretty much, you know, there's no getting around it. You just, you know, writers write. So you got to sit down at the computer and you just got to bang something out. And then just beyond that, you know, Lisa Melamed, who you referenced earlier, she has some great advice in her chapter. And one of the things that she said is just read everything. Get your hands on everything. Listen to stories. Listen, you know, and then store some of these nuggets away in your brain. Write them down, whatever, what little facts, little funny anecdotes, because you will use them eventually down the road. And you mentioned her Uncle Ira story, which is hilarious. I love that story. She did actually use that in an episode of, right. I think it was Party of Five or something like that. So that's, you know, in a nutshell, and you know, I could obviously go on and on forever, that's the advice to somebody who's looking to become a writer.
Okay. Well, guys, final question. Every interview in the book ends with a very clever quip, a witty one-liner, or some type of exclamatory sentence. I need to know, what famous last words have you prepared or do you have off the cuff for Mr. Media and the audience?
Well, Keith's the funny one, so I'll defer to him. I would just say, you know, it's maybe less funny and more inspirational. Just make it happen, you know? You want to do it? Just do it.
My last words, I'm hoping, are going to help people get into this business. I hope it's going to help people forge a very successful career, make a lot of money, have a long, healthy life. And that advice is, when you do a Skype interview, always crop yourself from mid-chest up so you don't have to wear pants.
There you go. We got an ending there. All right, folks, listen, you can find Mark Scherzer and Keith Fenimore's fascinating new how-to book, Hire Me Hollywood, your behind-the-scenes guide to the most exciting and unexpected jobs in show business. It's in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. And you just told us about the website. It is HireMeGuys.com, HireGuys. ME.com. I think I passed the spelling test. Are you guys any social media, Facebook, Twitter, any of that kind of stuff?
But you didn't pass the dyslexia test because you said hire guys me.
Is that what I said?
That's great.
I'm not entirely reading from a script. I actually didn't know the website until about 3 minutes ago. So, do you guys do any of the social media, Facebook, Twitter?
Yeah, we're on Twitter, at Hire Me Guys.
Hire Guys Me, right?
There.
And Facebook as well. We've got a Hire Me Guys page. So.
All right. Go to the Hire Guys Me page, right?
And you'll never find us, and we'll never respond to you.
Mark and Keith, thank you so much for joining us at Mr. Media today. It's really a fun book and modeling. See, now, the next book needs to have an interview with one of the ladies who does the modeling on, like,
The Price is Right?
The Price is Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll be a one-page book.
That was the one person who turned us down, actually.
Seriously, okay. Got it.
Oh, my God, it's backwards. We got to send this back to the printer.
Only on your screen. It'll be fine. Guys, thank you very much for being on Mr. Media today.
Thanks for having us, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Pleasure. For more original interviews, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. If you've enjoyed today's show, subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Another good idea, download our new free Mr. Media mobile app in the Android market. And you can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many parts of the Internet. Show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. We're also supported by thepartyauthority.us. Call DJ Ira for all your party entertainment needs nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS or visit their website, thepartyauthority.us. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. You can also call our 24-hour listener line at 1-727-498-4711. Some messages may be used in an upcoming show. And unless you live next door to Mr. Media, there may be a toll charge. You can also follow Mr. Media on Facebook, Twitter, or our new YouTube and Vimeo video channels. Thanks so much for joining us today. I always appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Hi, this is Raquel Welch. Yes, that Raquel. And I'd rather stick needles in my ears and listen to one more minute of Mr. Media Radio.